T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
All right, Chime Time. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's time now for the BetQL Boston Podcast. Let's run the slate with your host, Mike Mutnanski.
NBA Draft 2022, the night Woj screwed everybody. That's what happened yesterday. Chris Shine, good morning, buddy. How are you? Happy
good
Friday.
Good morning, Mutt. Happy Friday. I'm excited to be here. I'm ready for the weekend. I'm just having a great day. I got to tell you, I'm having a wonderful day.
That means you did not follow Woj yesterday on the NBA draft, nor did I. Did not have a nickel bet on the NBA draft. Eventually decided it's not my market. I didn't do no research for it, so I didn't bet it. But I do know, I'm following gambling people, that Woj really, really stuck it to people yesterday. So people that missed a quick recap of this, and we'll get to Stanley Cup Finals game tonight, Game 5. See if the Avalanche can close it out, the Red Sox, and we'll recap our NFL poll from yesterday where it proves Patriot fans might be dumb.
Very dumb.
So Woj tweeted out midday yesterday, you know, expected to be the first three in this order, Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, and Paolo Banchero to go 1, 2, 3 in the draft. And when that happened, everybody took everything off the board. You couldn't get a bet down on DraftKings or FanDuel. There were some, like, offshore markets still taking money. But the reality was people thought, because he's Woj, well, it's a lock thing now. Jabari Smith's going one. And so when they eventually, an hour or two before the draft, they put the markets back up. And they laid Jabari Smith at like minus, you know, 1,000 to be the first pick. And Paolo, who got hammered that overnight the night before, got steamed down to the favorite to be the number one pick. So somebody knew something. He was up at 3-4-1. And so anyone who followed Woj and said, well, it's got to be Jabari Smith, it can't be Banchero, they got their teeth kicked in. Because as an NBA insider, no one really knows anything. So you follow the insider, and he was wrong. And he definitely cost himself and the sportsbook Shime, who put Banchero back up there at like 3.5, 4-1, 2 hours, an hour prior to draft time because they thought Woj was right. He cost them a shit ton of money last night.
Oh, yeah.
Shit ton.
He screwed over so many bettors.
So many
but
people.
But that is exactly why, I think that reason right there is exactly why I haven't bet as much on drafts, because everybody's tweeting out picks before they happen. And I'm like, what are we doing? What's the point of this? And so Yeah, you know what? That's going to be my number one rule, my gospel, if you will. I'm just not going to bet on drafts. Even when it comes to time for NFL draft, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to torment myself unless it's like a week ahead of time, 2 weeks ahead of time. I'm done.
You're not going to bet the NFL draft next year.
Not going to do it. Okay. Screw these reporters and tweeting stuff early. Everybody needs to be first. Just let it happen. We all love the experience of finding out who the first overall draft pick is. Don't tweet anything and then screw people over like that. Bogus NBA insider idiot.
Well, Shams wasn't. Shams had it right. Shams never committed to it. He was right about it, and he's also saying today that Kyrie's gone, so that is going to completely change the landscape of the NBA again.
Yep.
I mean, you could, if you want, place the bets and just not look at Twitter and just watch the thing on TV.
Sure. If you place the bet like a week, 2 weeks ahead of time, something like that, 3 weeks ahead of time, go for it. Fine. But I'm the night of or the day before a draft, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it because you're just going to get steered in the wrong direction by these quote-unquote insiders, and you're going to get boned. And I'm good with that. I'd rather put my money on something that I have a lot of strength and of conviction in, and not just some insider with a Twitter account.
Yeah, if I'm going to get boned, it's to give me my own dumb opinions.
Damn right.
Not somebody else's bad info. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm going to bone myself.
Yep.
Print the T-shirts.
I'll
bone myself, dibble dabble.
I got 206 in my body. I'll give myself another one if I need to.
I did not have a dime on that last night, so I was not invested. It was kind of a slow bet. Well, we got the golf that's underway as we speak, and you got Rory's, which is good. I got a bunch of stuff going. Nothing great right now in the Gulf. We'll see what happens here with the cut. They are scoring like crazy. The Travelers updates throughout
massive
the weekend
scoring
here on the BetQL Boston podcast. Things that we are betting on tonight. Let's start with the Stanley Cup Finals.
Woo!
Game 5, your Avalanche. For those that don't know, Chris Schein bet the Avalanche heavy, minus 1.5 games in the series. So he needs a win tonight. He needs a win in Game 6. He does not want a win in Game 7. So that's
correct
where he stands right now. He had a bad betting card in Game 4. He came on and said, bad day for me. So the bounce back kid, Chris Schein, Prince of Pucks, affectionately known across the country. What do you want to do tonight, Game 5? Are you willing to go Donnie Double Down on the Avalanche here in Game 5?
Donnie Double Down? Call me Timmy Triple Down, baby, because we're going Colorado minus 1.5 tonight. So Colorado on the puck line is plus 145. And then on top of that, I'm also going Colorado over 3.5 team total goals at basically even money. I think it's minus 105 in some spots. So I'm going to go with the Colorado team total over 3.5. I'm also going to bet on Colorado minus 1.5. I think Colorado's a better team. Now you're going back to Colorado to play in the Ball Arena, in the altitude and all that crap. Vasilevsky has not been the Vasilevsky we know since the Ranger series. I think this Colorado team is the best. They're the best in hockey. I've said it weeks ago now. And so I'm going to continue to believe that. I'm going to believe in my analysis like I did with Tampa Bay in the East Finals. I'm going to believe in my analysis on the Colorado Avalanche. I'm going to triple down here on the Avalanche, and I am going to ride with my guys.
You just could have said Vasilevsky has not been himself since Mutt put not one but two different Conn Smythe bets on him. That's what you could have said if you wanted to.
That's brutal. I'm sorry, bud.
That's okay. No, was the bet I wanted to make. I wanted to kind of be against the crowd here with the Avalanche,
and those
are dead, but
Tampa Bay had
won,
that was the angle that was going
to
get them
to win. Yeah, that was the only Stamkos not going to win some kind. They're going to win because Vasilevsky's good in his head, and they win in 6 and 7 games.
100%.
That was the thesis. Through 4 games, it's not played out. Very unlikely it plays out. I do not know if I'll be back invested tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. So you have Colorado over the 3.5 team total. You have Colorado minus half on the 1.5 goals on the puck line here.
Yep.
Any player props for the people for game?
No, I'm not going to go with player props. I've really only hit like once or twice here on goal scorers and points props. So I'm just going to avoid those. I'm just going to go with, I know Colorado's going to score at home. So I'm going to back that.
All right, so we are hoping for Colorado to win tonight, I guess. I feel like my Vasilevsky, he would have to – there's very little shot he could win the MVP. At this point, it'd be like 3 straight shutouts, which I guess I could bet on like under half a goal tonight, I guess, if I wanted to try to play this and still have Vasilevsky a part of it. Like, that'd sort of be the thing.
Under a half a goal for the Tampa Bay Lightning, by the way, is 8.5 to 1. I'm sorry, for Colorado, is 16 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could say if I believed in him before the series, he goes on the road, as you said, in the altitude, I could put a few bucks on that and hope for a shutout, which seems, I mean, the price is fine, 16-20 to 1. I just don't know from there. So yeah. I'm not giving
he
any hockey
bets. He hasn't looked
good
enough to do it.
No, he has. He had that great save in Game 3, and that was really it. He slid across and made it. And since then, yeesh, has not been good. So Colorado over 3.5 in the team total for Prince of Pucks and a minus 1.5 on the puck line, and of course, still holding on that massive, massive $30,000 ticket on the Avalanche minus 1.5 games.
Also, I wanted to make sure I mention this before we get into Red Sox or anything else. A guy reached out on Twitter. His name is Dan the Mozzarella Man. And so I had to come to you because
Good morning, Dan. He
asked me a question. And so I wanted to get your philosophy on this as well. He said this was his DM to me. He said, hey, Shime, love the show, had a question. I have a futures bet on Ole Miss to win the College World Series for $3,600 is the winning price. He's like, I placed that back in March.
Yep.
They are now in the College World Series finals against Oklahoma.
Starts tomorrow, right?
Best of three?
Yep.
He said, should I hedge that and bet Oklahoma for a guaranteed payout of at least $1,500 or just stand pat with my Ole Miss ticket? I said, this was my response. I said, first of all, well, frickin' done. Second of all, I would hedge, but I'm also a coward. So I understand if you decide to stand pat. I told him I would ask you for your take. What's your thought on this? Are you a hedger, or would you just stand pat and ride with your guys?
Okay, because I've only, on a very, very, very ancillary level, paid attention. So I know it's Ole Miss in Oklahoma. All right, so Shime just pointed it out to me. Ole Miss is minus 130. Oklahoma is plus 110. He's got... Do we know? Did he say how much he invested?
No, he just said that the winning ticket is for $3,600, and that he could.
They were probably like, so they could be like, because there's a chance he had like $100 at 36-1.
Maybe. Well, he said he guarantees himself $1,500. So to me, it feels like he probably bet a grand. They were probably like 3.5-1. So he probably bet a grand to win 3,600.
Ole Miss was only 3.5-1. To when the thing started back in March?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe you're right, but I don't understand how the math would work then for plus 1,500, for to be up 1,500 if he's betting on Oklahoma.
Yeah, I would need to know the investment before. So because my team's the favorite, going into game one, I'm not hedging. Like so it's a best of three.
Yep.
If I get down 1-0 in the series, like if they're already if they're a plus, if Oklahoma's a plus 110 underdog, like, is one win of a best of three in a neutral site going to really make them some huge favorite if they're the dog going in? My answer is no. So to
me, and what you can do, I think, too, is if you stand pat, right, and Oklahoma wins game one, well, then don't bet on the series, just bet on the game. And so you're betting on Oklahoma to win either game two or game three, right? You just bet on Oklahoma twice, and that way you at least, like, kind of balance everything out, right?
Yeah, I'm not hedging. I'm not hedging, giving it's only two. There's only two outcomes: either Ole Miss wins or Oklahoma wins. Like, so my hedging experience comes from horse racing, Chime, where pick four is a race where you've got to pick four consecutive winners. Pick five consecutive winners. There's been times where I'm alive to, let's say, I've gotten to the final leg of a pick five, and I'm alive to, there's a 10 horse field. I'm alive to two horses. There are eight other horses that can still beat me, and my ticket loses because there are eight other options. I have hedged there in weighted hedges, so I can guarantee myself money. When there's only one other outcome, and that outcome's not going to be a huge favorite, even if they game one happens, I'm not hedging. And by the way, if Oklahoma loses game one, they're going to be a big dog to win the series. So for me, I'm Saturday night. I'm planning my Saturday around Ole Miss, Saturday at 7 o'clock. I'm planning my Saturday night around Ole Miss and Oklahoma, knowing the following. If Ole Miss wins, I can hedge going into the next two games. And by the way, hedge and just bet game by game at that point.
Yep.
Or two, Oklahoma wins.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm still alive. Like,
sense.
I'm sitting down Saturday night for a good sweat, a good college baseball sweat. That's what I'm doing. So, Dan the Mozzarella Man, I love mozzarella cheese. I don't love hedging into the first game of the series. That's just
okay
for me. But
yeah, you're right.
Winner take all? Winner take all, maybe.
Well, yeah, because so my hedging experience comes from the Super Bowl. A couple years ago, had a, 25-1 ticket on San Fran to win when they played the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And so it's a one-and-done game, right? So for me, I was like, I'm going to hedge this so that I guarantee myself a little bit of money. And so good thing I did, because San Francisco didn't win, and I would have been devastated that I didn't win anything when I could have won, you know, $2,500.
It's a best of three. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that is the kicker here, is that this is a best of three. So there's multiple opportunities to hedge down the road, like if you need to. Like if Ole Miss loses, gets absolutely shattered in game one, it's like, okay, I want to bet on Oklahoma just to win the next game, and that's how you can hedge that. So I think that makes more sense. You're right.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And again, okay, I've never bet a college baseball game. I've only watched these. UConn was had a chance to beat Stanford and go to the College World Series, and once they got knocked out, I basically stopped paying attention. So I'm saying this with no knowledge. Like, this is an NFL game, and I knew who, if it were really -130 favorite was like worth it, I'd have a better opinion. But my opinion, basically, it's the best of three. I would not hedge into game one. That's
okay,
my big take. And I'm rooting. Now I have a rooting interest. I'm now rooting hard for Dan the Mozzarella Man.
Good luck, Dan. We're rooting
for you. At 3,600. MLB, not college baseball, but Major League Baseball, plays tonight. Red Sox begin a stretch time. 36 games between now and August 3rd. 33 of those 36 come against teams currently in the playoffs. So this is it. This is the test
this
now.
This is the stretch, baby.
My good friend Rob Bradford said out loud last night, if the Red Sox right now, if they added a closer, they'd be a World Series contender, which I laughed him off the air. We haven't seen that yet. They've got to show me. They're 2-5 against Toronto. They're under .500 against the Rays, under .500 against the Yankees. Show me something in this stretch. Maybe we'll get there. But this should be a fun stretch for them. They started in Cleveland against the Guardians. Do not dare say the I word on the show, Sean.
I won't. It's the Guardians.
You called them the I word the other day. I got an email from corporate. They were not very happy. You get the Red Sox on the road in Cleveland, first of a three-game series. It'll be Nick Pivetta and Cal Quantrill, the son from Red Sox pitcher Paul Quantrill, on the mound tonight. Red Sox are plus 140 on the run line, which minus 1.5. They are minus 125 on the money line. They were minus 120 a couple hours ago. Over-under in this thing is 9. It's juiced to the under a little bit at minus 115. Your early lean tonight, Friday Night Baseball, Red Sox and the Guardians. Chris Schott.
So I looked at this, and I wasn't really sure how I wanted to approach it, right? Because I think the Guardians the Guardians have won 8 out of their last 10. This is a good baseball team. But at the same time, Nick Pivetta has been nails lately.
7-1 his last 8 starts.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I think I'm going to go with – I think I'm going to commit fully to Nick Pivetta over 5.5 strikeouts tonight. He had 10 in his last outing. You're getting it at plus 125, too.
Well, you know why, Sean. Can I add some context to that? The Cleveland Indians strike out the fewest amount of times per game in baseball. That's why.
Yeah, that's probably why, and that's fair.
It's definitely, and by the way, 5.5 is a pretty big number for a strikeout total anyway.
Yeah, it is.
And so you're getting, the under is juiced way up.
175, yeah, minus 175. And so, I thought about going outs recorded, but again, that's super juiced at minus 145 to get over 17.5, which is 6 full innings, basically. So I believe in Nick Pivetta. I don't necessarily know if I believe that the Red Sox will win, so I'm gonna keep riding Pivetta, who's been awesome. I'm gonna go over 5.5 strikeouts for Nick Pivetta.
Yeah, I don't have a game pick. I will give you a player prop to play with tonight. This will be officially on my card. Trevor Story, 1.5 total bases, is plus 135. Trevor Story is 4-for-12 in his career with a home run against Cal Quantrill. One thing I can count on for the Red Sox is their offense is pretty good. I'm not sure about their starting pitch against good teams. Their bullpen is not very good. They need major upgrades, at least a stud back there, either through trade or through Garrett Whitlock moving to the bullpen, and then one other piece. But I believe in Trevor Story. We know he's a streaky hitter. He got very hot on this homestand again. Alex Cora talked about him starting to go the other way against fastballs. So given his track record, given the plus 135, I want the over 1.5 total bases on Trevor Story. And if you made me make one other bet, this is a lean, not a lock, so I'm not going to put this on the card. But Cal Quantrill to record fewer than 17.5 outs, so to not basically complete 6 innings of work, I don't think is a terrible look in this game, because last time out against the Dodgers, he got absolutely rocked. Red Sox offense does travel. They've been good on the road, and they've been good at home. And you can get that right now currently at plus 110 at the under 17.5 outs. So I'm not officially saying that's on the card. If you're looking for a same-game parlay piece, I don't hate that. But my card bet will be Trevor Story over 1.5 total bases at plus 135. That's
perfect.
My Red Sox bet tonight.
I like it.
We posted a poll question at BetQL Boston yesterday. We asked the people, if you had to bet right now, Chris Schein, would you bet over under Patriots wins 8.5? Let me pull up the results here, shall we?
Please
have it in front of you right there. No, I got it right here. You texted me today. You asked for this mutt. 67% said over. 33% said under. I take that as like Patriots fandom. I asked this question last night on Mud at Night. We had people call in and say Rob Ninkovich is not crazy. 12 wins is not nuts. 10 wins, Mac Jones, Bill Belichick, all the hits, Shime. All the hits. And to which I say, don't do it. Don't do it. Wait until this thing gets to like 9.5, or maybe it goes down. If it takes, I'm not touching this thing at 8.5, and I've already bet it at the under. So, two-thirds of you want to bet the over 8.5 wins in the Patriots.
Dumb.
I don't have that same warm and fuzzy feeling for the Patriots.
I just keep learning it. The Patriots fans are delusional. Delusional. Today on the air, I got called stupid by a million different people.
To be fair, you might. Maybe it was stupid. What did you say?
So I said, offensive play calling is not simple. I said it is an art. I said there is a certain rhythm, and you have to have a great understanding of the game outside of the first drive of the game, the first drive of the second half. Those are the only two scripted drives in the entire game. So to believe that just anybody can step in and call an offense is ridiculous and asinine. And so I was trying to explain that people seem to think that offensive play calling is like Madden, that I can just dial it up and go, I'm going to go to the I formation. I'm going to go play action power left. I'm going to hit that guy on the post over the middle of the field. That's not how it works. You have a giant sheet, and you can try and have an idea of what you want to call, but it has to be based on the defenses they've been playing, yep. How your offense is performing, who's hot, who's not. There's so many different factors. It's an art. Calling an offense is an art. That's why only a few guys are actually really good at it. And I got called stupid for that. That Matt Patricia is going to be fine. He was going to be an aeronautic space engineer. He can do it. He's smart enough. That's not what it is. Not everybody is Pablo Picasso. Not everybody is Da Vinci. Calling an offense in the NFL is a freaking art. It really is.
Well, and also developing a quarterback and bringing him along. Again, this is not a football podcast, so I go to the Six Rings podcast for Shime and Fitzy, yep. and Hart to be yelling and Andy Hart to finger wag and like sound like he knows way more than us. I don't know why he was doing that the other day, but he's doing. Well, I don't need Andy Hart finger wagging on your podcast. Like, I want to listen to it and enjoy it. Don't be a know it all, Andy. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Get him, Mutt.
I just think that. I give Josh credit for being able to work with players from Tom Brady to Jimmy G to Jacoby Brissett to Mac Jones to Cam Newton. And the two guys who are now, forget calling the plays, being tasked with maturing Mac Jones. I trust Bill Belichick. I don't trust the other two guys, Patricia and or
100%. Not everybody, not everybody can step on a field and be Andy Reid, where their offensive system is fantastic for 25 years. That's, with different quarterbacks, by the way.
Yeah, multiple different quarterbacks.
Not everybody can do that. There is a certain je ne sais quoi that you need in order to succeed as an offensive coordinator.
You got to have a feel for it. And Joe Judge takes a knee on third down because he's afraid to run an offensive play.
Yep, and Matt Patricia's never done it before. And that's the other thing, too. When you've never done it before, you don't have that feel. You don't understand that rhythm. You don't understand the art to doing it and setting up plays for later in the game. You just don't. And I'm sorry. So sticking any first-time guy, I don't care if he's been a head coach in the NFL. I don't care if he's been a defensive coordinator. They can't just all of a sudden step in and be an offensive coordinator. Not going to happen.
I want people to rewind the podcast, to hit that 30-second, and just think that Chris Shime's talking about your wedding night. Just for a second, go back and listen to what he just said about not knowing what you're doing and rhythm and first time. Hit the 30-second button. And imagine Chris Shime is giving you advice about your wedding night. Just saying. I was laughing, and I thought, boy, this sounds like, ironically, 11 years ago today, Chris Shime, was my wedding day. My 11th anniversary.
Happy
How about
anniversary.
That?
Congratulations.
I need that speech 11 years ago. Okay. Anything else, Chris Shime, for the people before we send him off into the weekend? I'd say we'd talk to him Monday, but we'll talk to him Saturday and Sunday, apparently.
Yeah,
on this
we talk to him every single day. So, no, I got nothing. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Enjoy the beautiful weather we're going to have, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I will also say a little programming note. Be prepared to be annoyed at the audio, because I will not be home the next two mornings. I'm traveling, so I'll be doing it through the magic of iPhone, Shime, is my likely scenario. It actually worked at Mohegan much better than my netbook did. So.
It did.
We'll use that link. We'll figure out a time to any golf today, Shime, for the people.
I'm thinking about it. I have a meeting at 1 o'clock, but if that meeting goes quickly,
who scheduled a 1 o'clock meeting on a Friday in our company?
It was
who did
so
that?
It's not his fault. I haven't been getting paid for the podcasts because I'm a salary. So I just got my paycheck. I expected it to be there, wasn't there, and so I decided to go on a warpath last night because I was furious. Come to find out, might have been on me. So I that's why I am saying this kindly. I'm a salaried employee here, so I don't have to. I don't fill in hours. And then when I received an email back from the production manager, he said, "Well, have you been filling out your hours as like a flat rate or an hourly thing, or like what's the deal?" And I go, "I haven't been filling out hours. I'm a salaried employee." So come to find out, because it's a corporate podcast, not an EEI podcast, I may have needed to fill out some hours, and so it may have been on me. I didn't know. Nobody told me that, though. When the last time I asked him about this, I was not given any information. So I guess we'll find out.
Okay, that's worthy of a 1 o'clock meeting on a Friday.
Yep. It's kind of my fault.
Getting paid money that's owed you? Yes, that is kind of important.
Yeah, might be my fault. So.
Okay. Help Chris Shime out. He's doing the podcast for free, folks. Check him out. So here's how you help. Here's how you help us out. All these episodes, like 30, 40 episodes in every day except for one for the last 5, 6 weeks on a podcast. So please help us out. the volunteer, the social worker, Chris Scheim, on iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey app. Subscribe, please, to the podcast. And if you could, BetQL Boston on Twitter, BetQL Boston on Twitter. Good luck tonight with Avalanche, Chris Scheim.
Thank you, Mutt.
Go see what the Red Sox can do in the first of this big 36-game stretch, and we'll see if our golfers that we all have, including your buddy Rory McIlroy, can make a run here at the Travelers. We'll talk to you tomorrow at some point. BetQL Boston. Goodbye, Chris.
Bye, Mutt.
New on Curiosity Stream, he allows them their riches.
Putin has to be the richest of the rich.
In exchange for their loyalty.
The oligarchs have supported someone for president that they underestimate.
The illicit affair between Russia's elite and the man who rules them on Putin and the oligarchs. And World War II Normandy, an obscure battle training session takes a tragic turn. Uncover the one secret military catastrophe on the secret D-Day disaster. Watch now on Curiosity Stream. Annual plans are $20, just $1.67 a month. Visit curiositystream.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.